Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Churches. We hope you enjoy our sermon today. It was recorded at both churches on Sunday, November 3rd, which was also Communion Sunday, as well as All Saints Day. The scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 through 39. Hear now the word of God. So King Ahab sent word throughout all Israel, and assembled the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Go, get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice had come. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars of water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, if you were here last week, we were in a couple chapters before the division of the kingdom of Israel. You had Rehoboam in the southern kingdom, Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. They split the kingdom of Israel, these two kings equally sinning and sending their people off into darkness.
Rehoboam wanted to enslave the Israelites, and Jeroboam wanted to, well, didn't want to, let me rephrase that. Jeroboam built two golden calves, these two idols, and told Israel to worship God. Worship the calves instead of God. This was 100 years ago this occurs, that the kingdom is divided, and we talked last week that coming over the hill was this man. Coming over the hill was this prophet and this miracle worker. Coming over the hill for Israel was Elijah. And about 100 years had passed between where we were last week and where we are this morning. Elijah comes to the northern kingdom. There, King Ahab had married Jezebel. And we know that word Jezebel. We've used that word throughout history to talk bad things about women. And thankfully, I'm not preaching on Jezebel this morning without to say that she may have gotten a bit of a bad rap. Jezebel's sin was that she worshipped Baal, and that King Ahab also worshipped Baal. And so the northern kingdom begins to not worship the Lord. They begin to worship Baal, and this is the land Elijah comes into. Elijah comes, he prophesies a drought and arranges a final showdown before the prophets of Baal and the Lord. A final encounter with the king and the queen, a final time to settle for once, as was read this morning, who is God? Elijah calls the priests of Baal to the top of Mount Carmel. He stands there before all of Israel. He says, there are 450 prophets for Baal and only one prophet to the Lord. And then what was read on verse 21, Elijah goes before the whole assembly of Israel and says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And the people say nothing. Elijah says, I am the only prophet of the Lord left. Baal has 450 prophets. We'll each make a sacrifice to our God, and whichever God answers with fire, he is God. And so he turns to the 450 prophets of Baal. He says, take a bull, prepare the bull on your altar, and pray to Baal. And they pray all morning and nothing happens. They start chanting and praying and asking for Baal to answer them, and nothing happens. And at noon they start getting louder, and that's when Elijah starts taunting them. Maybe your God is traveling. Maybe your God is busy. Maybe he's sleeping and must be woken up. Scream louder. Surely he can hear you. And at this, the prophets start slashing themselves, cutting themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom. And still nothing happened. Still there was no fire. And I love verse 29. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice had come, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. And now it was Elijah's turn. Now Elijah gathers all the Israelites to him, gathers them, and goes to repair the Lord's altar. He takes the 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel, and he places them on the altar. He prepares the bull and places it on the altar. And then to continue taunting the prophets, Elijah says, bring four large buckets of water and pour it on the altar. Do it again, Elijah says. Do it a third time. Water is dripping down the sides of the altar and it fills in the moat that Elijah had dug around the altar. And then Elijah begins to pray, not chanting and screaming like the Baal prophets. In verse 36, he prays, he says, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all of these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." And then the fire of the Lord falls and burns up the offering, licks up the bull and the water and the rocks and the wood, and the people are amazed. The people are amazed and they fall down on their faces and they say, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." I love this story. This is a story where God is right up there. God's might is in the room. The Lord shows that He is faithful. The Lord shows that He is God. The people of Israel know that the Lord is God, and they start worshiping and praising God. Elijah is standing there victorious, amazed, happy, and wondered. He is a prophet of God, and the Lord has answered him. He stands before all of Israel, and Israel has turned back to God. They are worshiping God's name in the land where they had not for over 100 years. And in the midst of all of this, on top of the mountain, in the midst of the joyful sound of the people praising God, in the midst of the wailing of the prophets of Baal, in the midst of the fire coming and burning the altar and the bull and the stones and the wood and the water, Elisha's prophecy is coming true. The Lord is Yahweh. The Lord of our God, the Lord of our ancestors is still alive. The God who freed us from slavery in Egypt is still alive. We live and serve a living God. It is in that applause and wonder and joy and amazement that we have to read verse 40. "Then Elijah commanded them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let anyone get away.' They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley, and Elijah ordered them to be slaughtered there." He slaughters 450 prophets. The downfall of Elijah occurs in one single and simple voice. And it happens so quickly, I think we need to watch what happens again. Elijah commanded them to grab the prophets. Elijah tells them to kill the prophets. Every time in Scripture, every time that the word of God comes to Elijah, those words are used. And the word of God came to Elijah and told Elijah what to do. In chapter 17, in chapter 18, in chapter 19, we keep seeing the word of God came to Elijah, descends upon Elijah, and tells Elijah, "Do this and do that." But in verse 40, we don't see the word of God. We don't see God's name anywhere in that verse. Instead, Elijah tells them to grab the prophets. Elijah tells them to bring them down to the valley. Elijah orders them slaughtered. How quickly does Elijah go from the glory and applause and wonder on top of the mountain to the murder of 450 men in the valley? And if we read on in chapter 19, if we keep going in the story, we know that Elijah is haunted by this decision, haunted by the very fact that things have changed so quickly. So quickly that his power corrupts. It says in verse 3 that Elijah was afraid. It doesn't say it, but I imagine Elijah was afraid because he was surrounded by the ghosts of 450 men whose murders he had ordered. 450 men who he had killed, surrounded by these ghosts with the knowledge that his order did not come from God, God bless you, that God did not ordain this. And so Elijah travels to Mount Horeb. He travels to Mount Sinai. He travels to the mountain of God where Moses came down off of the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Elijah hides in a cave waiting to pray to God, and there's a tornado that whips around the mountain. But God's word is not in the wind. There's an earthquake that shatters the mountain and shakes everything up, but God is not in the earthquake. There's a fire and smoke and a huge storm that comes on the mountain, but God was not in the fire. And then chapter 19 tells us there was a silence. There was a whisper. And Elijah heard it and covered his face because he was going to speak to God. Covered his face. And he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord. I've done these terrible things, and now they are coming to kill me. We go from Elijah standing on top of Mount Carmel, surrounded by Israelites and kings and queens and prophets. God sends down his fire to prove his presence. But Elijah doesn't hear from the word of God until he is in the silence of that cave. Instead, on Mount Carmel, Elijah acts without God's backing, and it terrifies him. What does it feel like when we win? How good does that feel, whether it's at work or at school or at home or in our lives? If there's an argument or a disagreement or a fight and we win, the altar catches on fire, and in the height and wonder and awesomeness of that single moment, with the applause and sound and might of that time, how quickly can we fall from grace? How quickly can we fall and fall so far from where we are when we fight dirty or go too far or say something we can't take back? When we can't hear the word of God, we can't hear God because it's too loud and he can't get through. That's when disaster strikes. That's when we fall, and we fall all the way down to the Kishon Valley. I think there's something profound in what we're seeing today. Elijah, the miracle worker, the one sent to bring the northern kingdom back from the edge, he himself goes over the edge. He goes off reservation. He stops listening to God and instead asserts his own direction or his own opinion. And if that happened to Elijah, the miracle worker, the one sent from God, how surely will it happen to us? Especially in a world today when we are divided in politics, in the church, in conversations that brother and sister are fighting with each other, how quickly do we point at the other side and say, you are obviously wrong? How often do we go for those cheap shots? Because when we win, we like to win. The normal way of thinking is that the loudest in the room usually has something to say. And I know that's ironic because I'm the one screaming this morning. But it's the one who grabs the microphone. It's the one who has the money or the power. It's the one who screams at the top of their lungs, the talking heads on TV. Those are usually the ones that we know we should not be listening to. The 450 prophets were screaming and chanting all morning and afternoon, calling on Baal, screaming, and there was silence from heaven. Elijah's prayer instead was personal. It was private. It was quiet. And he heard from God. And so maybe we've lost our way. Maybe in the loud voices and all the people yelling, you can't hear what God is trying to say. Maybe you can't hear God's voice over the roar of a million voices. And what happened to Elijah when this happened, when Elijah lost his way, when Elijah was scared and alone, he goes to the silence of the mountains. He goes into a cave and he waits and listens for God and refocuses. He listens for the whisper of God. And so what can we do? How do we listen to God? Where can we go to listen for the silence, to listen to the whisper? If we need it, let's go to the mountains. If we need it, let's sit in the cave. Let's sit alongside of Elijah. Not for the tornado, not for the fire, not for the earthquake. But listen for God's whisper. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.